extend grace. Praise God. You guys doing good today? I know I am. Praise God. This is a tough week. We lost our cat of almost 19 years old. But you got to see death. We see death from man's side. And it is limited. And it is mysterious. And you can't figure it out with the human mind, because the human mind just can't take eternal things and understand it in this natural world. Not until we're translated into the other world can we do it. But from what the Bible tells us, leaving this world is a really good thing. Leaving the restrictions of our body, the pains of our body, the things, the age of our body, is a good thing. And God wants us to be secure in that. He wants us to know and have peace, that it's nothing to fear. It's something to embrace. It's something, it's the last enemy that shall be conquered, is death. So our bodies were not redeemed. Our souls were not redeemed, but our spirit man is. And one day our spirit man will put on a new temple, a new tabernacle, a new glorified body like his. Praise God. And then my good friend Van Crouch, who I miss, and if it wasn't for him, I really don't think there would be a TLC right now. He was so instrumental in starting this church, being on our board, infusing us with wisdom, and downloading us with such tremendous advice and counsel at the beginning of our church. I miss him, because it just seemed like when I was down, the phone would ring, Tommy. And I just miss him. I miss his laughter. I miss his, he always wanted his soup. We went to Chili's a lot, and he liked that potato soup that they had. And I said, okay. And he says, when you bring it hot. They say, okay, lawsuit hot. It had to be lawsuit hot. Anyhow, we are concluding our July. I'm in July in my mind right now. By the way, I've settled on a July series title is The Image of God in You. And I've been studying it, and I'm telling you something, it is just coming alive on the inside of me. You were created to hear God. That's the way Adam was created. He listened to God. He walked with God. You were created to walk and to listen and to hear God. You don't need somebody to tell you who God is or how. You don't need that. You can talk directly to him. The reason we get together is because his presence is so powerful as we gather together. And words are shared and exchanged, and there's fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father, excuse me, and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with each other. Excuse me one second. Pause. Oh, yeah. Okay. And this month we're talking about a forgiving heart is a true heart. You know, the more you walk in truth, the easier it is to forgive. And the more you forgive, the easier it is to walk in truth. You can't have one without the other. They work together. You know, it says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're living a lie, and we're not walking in truth. Doesn't it say that? Yes? Come on, guys. I need you to participate in this. He says, and in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, when you walk in truth, no matter where you are, you can stop and you can say, okay, next to that, I'm walking in truth. What is the truth? God's word, Sammy. John 17:17. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And this, he prayed this in the garden. John 17:17. Can we put that up? John 17, he says, "I have no greater," he says, "Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus said that in John chapter 8. "If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth." And the truth will make you free. It's not truth that makes you free. It's the truth that you know that makes you free. You've got to know it. That means intimate knowledge of the truth. How that truth affects you. How you let that rearrange your thinking and renew your mind. You know what when it says that we are transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know that word renew, you know what it means? Renovate! Renovate! Think of a building. We renovated this place. Wires were pulled out of the wall. Piping was pulled out of here. The walls came down. This was all divided into office place. It was renovated. And it was sanctified for our use. We prayed over this. But it's been good to us. But we may be looking for a new place. Keep that in prayer. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. So if the word is truth and he delights that we walk in truth, that means, and the word is truth, the truth is the word, then what does the word say? Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. He says, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you." And then in verse 15, he says, "If you don't forgive them, he won't forgive you." Why is that? Because you have commandeered God's justice system and you have launched it into the dictates of your own flesh. And Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. No good result can come out of your fleshly desires to satisfy your own vengeance. That belongs to him, does not belong to you. So get your hands off it and forgive. Oh, yes. Amen. So if we're walking in forgiveness, we're walking in truth. If we're walking in truth, we've got to walk in forgiveness. And forgiveness from the heart is the only forgiveness that God accepts as being true forgiveness. Forgiving from the heart. You can't apply different standards to other people than you apply to yourself. Ouch. Come on, guys. You know, listen, I didn't come out... When I was playing in rock bands, financially it was successful, everything. But I got saved, and I came out of rock bands not to play religion. Not to just play with the truth. God doesn't deal in shades of the truth. He doesn't deal with shades of righteousness, shades of love, based on my performance or your performance. He is love. He is light. He is righteous. He is just. He is almighty and all-powerful. And in all of his sovereignty, there are things that he has delegated to us, and forgiveness is one of those things. And you write your own ticket with God by your own ability to forgive. But he's already given you that ability by giving you the truth. You need to forgive people because they're human. Just like he gave you because you were human. He forgave you, didn't he? Is the ground level at the cross. That includes you. Yeah, there is no way to figure this out of how justice can be settled, how I can walk in forgiveness in this situation. But if you leave it up to him, he'll work it out because a just God, that's what justice is. It's taking that which is wrong and making it right. And that's what I love about God. Because just when you think it's impossible, guess what? It's possible. All things are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Matthew 9:23. You can read it yourself. Praise God. A forgiving heart is a true... So the bottom line is this. If we want all he has to give, then we have to give all we have. Amen. Amen. It's not shades. It's not partial. It's not conditional adjustments. Based on, well, if they do this, then I'll do that. No, there's no provision for that in the Word of God. Your relationship is with God. It doesn't depend on what other people did to you unless you let it. See, we have so much freedom under this structure that he has given us called the kingdom of God. So much freedom, so much liberty. If we can get our flesh out of the way, I'll tell you something. You've got a ticket to ride. Oh, unless you want to be with that guy. Remember the unforgiving servant? His master loosed him from a $200 billion debt because he cried and said, Lord, for God, give me top pay. And he was going to sell him, sell his wife, sell his kids, sell his property and pay the debt. And even that wouldn't have been enough. But since he said, forgive me, I will pay. He forgave, not only did he forgave the debt. He didn't even ask him to pay it at all. And the guy went grabbed a guy by the throat who owed him $20 and he didn't have it. So he threw him in jail. Well, the end result is that unforgiveness put him in torment. That's what unforgiveness does. It distracts you. It fills your mind with it takes you right out of your game with God. It takes you because you've usurped the throne of God. If you can't say amen, say, oh me, it's true. Because you've interrupted God's system of justice, the ability to make things right, and you've taken that on yourself, and it all works out wrong. And so he was delivered to the tormentors. You know, and he lost everything because he couldn't forgive. Isn't that serious stuff? Yeah. Read that, Matthew 18:35. He said, so will your heavenly Father do to you if you, from your heart, do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like God is going to get you back. God's going to make you pay. That has nothing to do with this. No, what you've done is you've taken it out of his hands. You've taken over the throne of justice, and you have worked it out your own way, and you are going to reap your own results.
Amen.
He has to, because he's just, and he has given you a free will, he has to accommodate that. And, you know, say this with me. It's the Spirit that gives life. No result from my flesh can bear anything that's worth anything. The flesh profits nothing. Period. So it's not that God wants to get you back because you didn't forgive. That's what religion teaches you, that guilt. Lori grew up Catholic, and we call that the Catholic guilt. But we got her delivered. Anybody can get delivered from religion. I grew up in a congregational church or Presbyterian, whatever you want to say, and I didn't know what we believed. None of us knew what we believed either. That's why I became an atheist when I was 16 years old. But on my 24th birthday, that all changed. Yeah. Praise God. So turn, as we get ready for our weekly confession here, I'll get out of this in a minute. Turn with me to John chapter 7 and just put your finger in there for a minute, and we're going to focus in once again, release our faith in the power of God's word. Let's read this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's powering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Every time you pick up the word of God, there's life in that word. Maybe I need to say this because it's really strong on me again. Jesus had the blood of the Father flowing in his veins.
Yes. Amen.
How did it get there? When Gabriel spoke to Mary and said, he will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will... The blood was in that word. I don't think you realize how much power you have in the Word of God when you start speaking it and releasing the washing. And he said, now you are clean through the words that I spoke. See, the blood is a spiritual thing. How do I know that? Yes, it was physical in his veins. But the blood we're talking about of the Spirit is the blood. It's the life of the flesh. The blood is in the body of Christ. And when we start speaking the Word of God, there starts to be so much power released into this world when we are united, one blood, one family. It's just a tremendous thing. So, yes, this Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. Starts forgiveness and truth in this world. It begins with the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the life that he's talking of, that blood is spiritual now. It has to be spiritual because it cleanses sin. I'm getting pretty deep here, aren't we? Now you get your hip boots on. We can wade through it. Okay. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In that last day, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days long. And they had priests that took water out of the pool of Siloam and they marched around and everything. On that the great day of the feast, now they're ready to eat. See, what the Feast of Tabernacles was, is it was a celebration in commemoration of God's provision in the wilderness. Remember the water that came out of the rock that kept them alive? The water. And on the seventh day, they carried around this thing, and they would pour it. They would pour it out. And the last day, but it was this feast was also a commemoration of the future messianic kingdom. It was twofold, thanking them for the provision in the wilderness and for the establishing of the messianic kingdom, which they said was going to come someday. And someday was standing right there in the midst of them. And he said, on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now think of this. The priests come in the last day, they turn the cistern and it's empty, signifying that they're waiting for the true water of the messianic kingdom to come. And as they emptied that bucket, and nothing is in there, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, I mean, you got to hear this. This is ear splitting. This broke the air in a way that nobody else could have done. Jesus was a master at doing this. Jesus. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, his innermost being, out of his spirit shall come rivers of living water. But this he spoke about the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, was Jesus glorified? Yeah. Did he raise from the dead? Yes. Is he alive now and active at the right hand of God? Is he in his high priestly ministry? Is he in his intercessory ministry? Is he in his mediatory ministry? Mediating the benefits, blood bought promises of God? Yes. Has that disappeared? No. So the Holy Spirit is still doing what he was sent to do. He was sent to reveal truth to you, remind you of what Jesus said, and to empower you with gifts. And to take the truth and show it to you. And not only that, but take all the things that are Jesus. He said, he shall take whatever's mine and he will reveal it to you. He'll show it to you. He'll declare it to you. When you need it, that voice will be there saying, here's the provision. Here's the blessing. You know, you guys are I know you're sitting up and everything. But I need you to get, you know, I'm lit. My bones are on fire right now. Jesus. And you know, here's the thing is, I started to say this, but I got out of bands because I wanted something real. I didn't want a bunch of showbiz. I didn't want, and a lot of people, you know, I read an article back in 2016. It was in some Christian magazine, and I forget the name of it, but it was called The New Exodus. Why people are leaving churches in droves. And it's not because, and it says they weren't backslidden, they weren't really, you know, but they just didn't see the point. And there is at some point when the smoke machines, the light shows, the showbiz and the skinny jeans just don't make it anymore. And they don't see any sense. I thought people want the truth. I thought I was going to get something out of this. I thought my life was going to be changed. They talk about it. But the word that they're speaking is not equipping them. It's salted and peppered with a lot of popular things. And a lot of them have gone woke because of it. You know, what you speak is what you get. If you're speaking the truth, you're going to get truth. I wrote a song years ago. If you know the truth, go sow the truth, and the truth will make you free. For whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. So if you sow the truth, you're going to reap the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if you know the truth, go sow the truth, and the truth will make you free. That was back in Frankincense and Myrrh. That was back in the 1900s. That was like 1977 or 78 I wrote that song. And you know what? It's still the same. Truth doesn't change. So in that last, and the thing is, the Holy Ghost, look, I know, you know, evangelical Christianity, for the most part, they're trying to get people saved so they can get into heaven. Right?
Yeah.
That's not the purpose of the gospel.
That's right.
The purpose of the gospel isn't to get people to heaven. It's to get Jesus. It's to get God Almighty into you. Yeah. To recreate your human spirit and make it a new wineskin. Recreated, not just fixed up, not just patched up. Not just a new cloth that's patched. Brand new on the inside. Now you are capable of housing the Almighty God in your spirit. That's what that blood bought. So that this Holy Spirit could come on all those who believed in Jesus and he would be with them forever. He said that in John 16. He says, whom the Holy Spirit and he will, I will send in my name, who will be with you forever. That's John 14. And he'll show you all things. He'll show you things to come so that you'll be ready. Praise God. So we're dealing in this. A forgiving heart is a true heart. A forgiving heart is a believing heart. A believing heart is a pure heart. A pure heart is a free heart. And today we're talking about flowing. That rivers of living water flowing so that we can live a life that's flowing with God and flowing in step with God. Flowing, have God flow through you into a dead, dying, crying, sighing, crippled world. Amen? Flowing heart. Let me just, I'm going to cut to the chase here. Think of it this way. Think of a baseball game. You know, two sports, if you know anything about me, I love golf and I love baseball. And I guess we're going to talk about baseball. But usually I talk about the sport of two of my favorites based on how our two Chicago baseball teams are doing. And right now I'd really like to talk about golf. Because both of them are in last place. And in fact, the White Sox are the lowest one in the American League. And the Cubs are lowest in their division. I think there's one other team, or maybe two other teams, that have a worse record than the Cubs. But they're not doing good. Well, maybe I should talk about them. Maybe they'll do better from this if they get this and listen to it. But let's say you are on the team. You're coming up to bat. And you've got something going on in your mind. And you think you're all that, you know. And you strike out. Why? Because you're distracted. Your mind is distracted. And let's say this guy got in a beef with somebody, and this thing was just taking hold of him so much, and he couldn't focus. It just took him right out of his game, right out of his swing. He was unprepared and everything, because that ball, he wanted to swing so hard at that ball because that was that guy's head that he hadn't forgiven yet. And now he's going to whack that thing. See what I mean? See how it grows so fast? Jesus, the word of God in 1 John says, if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. It's the same thing, because God deals with the heart, not with the outward actions. The outward actions are based on the heart. So now and so what happens is he's so mad, he's ready to whack that thing. The pitcher reads him, and he says, oh, okay. And he throws him a changeup, and he seems way out ahead of it, and then the ball crosses the plate, and he totally fanned this guy. He struck out. So he goes back to the bench. And now he starts to fume. Maybe this situation's got me out of my game. Duh. Maybe I ought to change. Maybe, I don't know. So the guy's a Christian, and he said, well, Lord, help me get through this. What do I do? All of a sudden, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father may forgive you. So he says, okay, how do I do that? Just decide that my word is true. I love you, and I can take care of this. Okay. So he gets it out of his, he says, Father, forgive me for my attitude towards this person. Forgive me for that. And Lord, I ask you to just forgive me for that. And I forgive him by faith. But at least you've done something, right? And then you start working on that. Next time you come up to bat, now it's the bottom of the ninth. There's one out, nobody on base. And all of a sudden, you have clarity in your mind. And here's what happens. Is that a hum there? Is it the humdinger, man? Okay, now, and he just burns a fastball right away. And you're startled because you see something you're not used to seeing. You saw the ball. You saw the laces on the ball. And you probably saw that Spalding or Rawlings or Wilson label on the ball. All of a sudden, you saw, how many know Jesus heals the blind eyes? How does he do it? It starts on the inside. His mind is clear. His eyes are functioning according to the clarity that he now has. And he sees that ball really clear. So it froze him because he was so surprised by that. And he hadn't seen that in a long time. So now he says, and there's something on the inside of him, come on, just give me that one more time. Just give me that pitch one more time. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm clear. I am so ready. Crack! Base hit! Right up the middle, just drops short of the right fielder who is playing him that way. And he gets on base. So he's on first base. And now he says, wow, that was good. So instead of being a liability to his team and adding one more out that inning to the team, now he's helped his team. And you know what else he's done? He's probably rattled the pitcher. He's probably got the enemy, the opposition off of his game now. Maybe he's getting him to question himself now. He's got him on the defense, and now I'm on the offense. I'm on first base, and now my objective is to get to second base or third base. I want to get home somehow. We're down by one run. It's the bottom of the ninth. I'm on base. What's the best thing I can do? I can start praying for the next batter. Say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in his head, but if it's the same thing that I did, give him the ability to see himself like you do. Give him the ability to be clear in his mind. Help him to go through his motions and to be free from distractions like I was. Just help him like you helped me. And you see what's that? You're praying for him. And all of a sudden, crack. He puts one out in the gap. You're on third base. He's on first base. He got a base hit. You're on third base. One, and there's still one out. So what do they do? Pitcher says, this is going a little rough. I'm gonna walk this guy, load up the bases, and create a force at any base. You can tell I played baseball again. So now there's a force at any base. So, but you see what's happening is the guy on third base who just prayed for the guy who's now on first base, who's walked over to second base, now he's praying for the next batter. But you see what's happening is prayer leads to success in this person's life. And so if he starts sharing with the team, you know what? I found that prayer worked for me. I prayed for him, and it worked. God's bringing, it's releasing God's hand to work with the whole team.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Do you see what's happening, the dynamics of that? It's changing everything. Well, the next batter, the bases are loaded. He comes up. Now, he's got a beef against the one guy on the team who feels it's his duty to denigrate other team members and their abilities and so forth to make himself look good. And he's got a grudge. And you know what? Until he wants to let go of that, all the prayer in the world isn't going to work for him. And so he gets up. Hits into a double play. Inning's over. Game's over. We still lost. I got on first base. I got all the way to third. And still, the game was the same. The scoreboard was the same. We still lost. Unforgiveness is a thief. It is blind. It's a blinder. It will blind you. And here's the thing. Unforgiveness puts you above everybody. It is born out of pride. The pride of life. And it drives other things in your life. It's the three-headed monster in 1 John chapter, is that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away with the sin thereof. But he who does the will of God, the word of God, will abide forever.
Amen.
Well, what happened is this guy who denigrated the rest of the team now and got into this guy's head, and this guy couldn't let go of it, couldn't forgive it. He probably even identified with some of the weaknesses that this guy pointed out to him, rather than identifying with, you know what, I'm bigger than that. God created me bigger than that. I have a rich God who is rich in mercy and rich in love, who can cover me with his love. I'm bigger than, he recreated you to be bigger than all of that. You are bigger than all of that. You don't have to get stuck in the minutiae of this world. This world doesn't even belong to you. It's passing away. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You have the spirit of the living God. You want to flow with God, in God. Let him flow through you. You need to forgive.
That's right, amen.
Period. That, it's not their job to come to you and apologize. It's your job to go to them and say, hey, you know what? You did something that really bothered me. This is the roadmap that Jesus gave us in Matthew 18. Go to him and confess and just say, look, what you did is wrong. And if he doesn't listen to you, bring somebody else. And if they don't listen, he doesn't listen to them, bring them to the church. And if the church doesn't listen to him, or if he doesn't listen to the church, then let him be as a heathen or whatever. Because if he doesn't listen to you, doesn't listen to the brothers, doesn't the sisters, it doesn't listen, he doesn't listen to the church, he's not going to listen to God. Right? But until you forgive, you're not going to be free. Until you forgive, you're not going to be able to function right. Until you forgive, you're going to be blinded by all of the attributes that you don't want. And it's all in your flesh, and the flesh profits nothing. And all this time, you've been liberated in your spirit. You are created in the image and likeness just like God. Baseball, you can learn a lot from baseball. And if you really want humility, play golf. Start praying for your brothers and sisters. Start praying for them to get a revelation. Oh, really? Maybe they have that revelation just buried under a lot of attitude or a lot of hurt. But pray for each other that we help, that God can show them and help them to understand the detriment and the destruction of unforgiveness. And pray for them. And you know what? God is a God who is a rewarder. And if you're praying for people, interceding for, he's going to reward you too. He'll move you over to third base. And he won't make you dependent on the next batter that's coming up either. Because his game is already rigged to win, because you are a victor. His game is already rigged to get you home to where you need to be. Every single day, you can hit a home run. You can pray for your teammates. But the change comes with you getting on the bench and saying, Lord, maybe this thing has gone too far. I need to let go of it. If that's you, let go of it. Now, just let go. It's not doing you any good. People are human. Accept that, because God accepted you and you're human. Amen. Still love me? Oh, good. See, this is the message I don't think a lot of churches are hearing. They want to do popular things to get more numbers. I could care less about numbers. Give me three or four people that have the heart for God and that can get together, that love each other and can pray for each other and can walk with each other and fellowship with each other and share power and change and renewal with each other. Give me that. I'll tell you what, you can have that other. I've been on staff at two large churches. And it's pretend. It's show. It's, you know, God's got more than that for us. Amen. 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 So let's get out of the weeds. Praise God. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, it will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do. Help us get a revelation of what we've heard today and pay attention to the voice that's we're really hearing on the inside. Not so much what I say, but what you're saying to them. And focus on freedom. Focus on getting on base, because until we forgive, we're not even going to see the ball to get on base. Until we forgive, we're not going to hear the devil start running away. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, that the truth just really come out, really be revealed. And Lord, I take this opportunity now for our nation's birthday, that we continue to grow in our trust for you in this nation, to pray for this nation's leaders, to pray for this nation's election system, that it be true and reflect the true the true people of this country who do vote, who really want their vote to count, and not diminish it because of some socialist takeover. Lord, we ask, Father, that you just take this nation, put it in your arms, cradle us and bring us to where we need to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.